Seeking the Lord's help once more. This morning I would ask you to turn in the scriptures to the second book of Kings and chapter 5. And I hope this morning to particularly focus my thoughts upon chapter 5 and the first 15 verses. 2 Kings chapter 5 verses 1 to 15. I shall read again just verses 13 and 14. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So the title given to this morning's sermon is The Leper is Healed. There are many gospel sermons to be found in the Old Testament, and the passage before us is a vivid illustration of the work of God in the life of a sinner. The Syrians under King Ben-Hadad had won a string of military victories against the Israelites, who at this time were led by King Jehoram, son of the very wicked King Ahab. And as a result of these battles, the Syrians dominated the northern reaches of Israel. During this time, the Syrians expanded their country at the expense of Israel, taking some of the Israelite cities into their control. In addition to the major battles, smaller companies of Syrian soldiers made raids into Israel, and they took captive some of the people, including the little girl who is mentioned to us in verse 2. And it was a case that young girls especially would be captured, they would be taken back to Syria, and they would be placed in a household to be a servant. And the little maid in question here in the passage before us this morning must have been a very competent little girl, because she was waiting on the wife of the captain of the host of Syria, a man called Naaman. Now the Spirit of God gives us quite a description in verse 1 about this man Naaman. Who was he? We're told he was captain of the host or army of the king of Syria, that he was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So we have Naaman. He's a notable war hero. If medals were awarded then, he would be wearing the military cross and other valour medals, and he would be very highly respected. The general of the Syrian army, successful, courageous, powerful, highly respected. But Naaman had a serious problem. And the scriptures say, at the end of verse 1, he was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And so we have, first of all, Naaman's problem. When I visited the far east of India 2 years ago, this next week, on the Lord's Day, as we travelled to the place where we were to preach, I noticed that along the road there was a small leprosy hospital. Leprosy is caused by a bacterium. We don't know of it in our country because we live in conditions where there's clean running water. We all eat a good, nourishing diet, and we all enjoy good standards of living. But in the far east of India and other places in Africa today, and some other countries in Asia, they don't have good running water. The water there is dirty. They don't have good meals. Their nutrition, the food is poor, and they have a very low, poor standard of living. And in those conditions, leprosy flourishes. In fact, according to the figures, about 200,000 people contract leprosy each year in the poorer parts of the world. And we can well understand that in the Old Testament times, living conditions were not as clean and sanitary as they are today. In addition, Naaman was a soldier. We know that soldiers are often exposed to harder living conditions. He would have faced camping out at night. Perhaps the only water available had been polluted by the people of the town that he was attacking. And he would have had to live off the land. And we can understand that somewhere along the line, Naaman contracted this disease of leprosy. And of course, there was a tremendous problem for anyone who contracted this disease of leprosy in those days, because it was incurable. There were no medicines, no inoculations or vaccines against this disease of leprosy. When someone had leprosy, they knew that it was going to progress and it was going to get worse. It is a measure of the respect that Naaman had that he was still in this position as captain of the host of the king of Syria. And although the king of Syria had great respect for Naaman, Naaman knew that eventually the disease of leprosy would spread over his body and it would cause more and more problems and more disfigurement. And Naaman's leprosy was obviously known in the household. The servants knew, the little maid from Israel, who was probably the most junior of all the servants in the house, she knew that her master had leprosy. No doubt it caused great concern to his wife and to his family, and they communicated that concern to their servants. Here was a great man, a successful army general, a highly honored friend of the king of Syria, but he was a leper. He had an incurable problem that would require a miracle to solve it. Now, you and I may not be as important or successful as Naaman, but we are each born with a serious problem. And as we grow older, that problem tends to become worse and worse, and it will eventually result in death. Our problem is not leprosy, but sin. In the psalm that we've just sung, David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David's father and mother were married when he was conceived. He's not questioning the legitimacy of his birth, but he's acknowledging the truth that he inherited a sinful nature from his mother and father. And David would acknowledge that as he grew up to be a child, and then to a teenager, and then to an adult, the problem of sin remained with him. He would have to confess that he had told lies, that he had stolen, that he had said wrong things, that he could had later on he would have to confess he had committed adultery. And David recognizes in this 51st Psalm that he's not loved God with all his heart and with all his mind and with all his soul and with all his strength. He confesses, "I have broken God's holy law and it condemns me." And running through David's life is this problem of sin. And it's a serious condition that affects every one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If leprosy today is left untreated, it goes on to cause disfigurement and blindness and other unpleasant effects. But sin also has a very serious prognosis, for the wages of sin is death. There's no question from this passage that Naaman took his leprosy very seriously. And we must eat, take this disease of sin very seriously. Naaman knew that if the leprosy were to run its course, he would no longer be able to lead the army. He would have to retire from public life, and eventually he would need considerable care. The consequences of uncured leprosy would be serious for Naaman. And we too have to understand that sin left untreated and unforgiven will lead to the condemnation of our soul in hell. God cannot overlook sin. It must be dealt with. God must punish sin because it's a transgression of his holy law and it's rebellion against him. Have you recognized that you have this serious problem of sin in your life? Do you recognize the future to which untreated sin will take you? Naaman recognized what lay before him if this disease was going to run its course. And that is why he acted so promptly when the little maid told his wife. In verses 3 and 4, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid," that is, of the land of Israel. When we come to realize the blackness and vileness of our hearts by nature, we should immediately sink to our knees and ask the Lord to forgive us our sins. Naaman's problem, and then Naaman's initial action. On hearing that the prophet in Israel, that is in Samaria, would recover him of his leprosy, Naaman acts swiftly and decisively. This news that the little maid imparts to his wife was not true of his own country. It could not be said that there was a prophet in the land of Syria who could heal him, or else Naaman would long ago have sought him out and asked that prophet for healing. But there are hurdles before Naaman. Syria and Israel are enemies. The prophet of God, whom the little maid declares would heal her master, lives in enemy territory. And Naaman needs to proceed very carefully and cautiously, because over the years he's been responsible for the capture and death of many Israelites. If he appears in the land of Israel without care, he might be killed. And so a wise approach is needed. But then Naaman's boss, the king of Syria, intervenes. And like many who hold positions of authority, he wants to do things his way without taking care to see that it's the right way. And he says, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. In other words, he's going to manage this matter himself. He's going to deal with this king of Syria to king of Israel. And he just sweeps Naaman to one side as though he says, well, go and get your things ready and I'll deal with this. But the problem is the king of Syria confuses the message. The little girl had said, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." But the king of Syria seems to ignore the specific details of the message. He obscures the clear message that the little girl had given, and that would later cause problems for Naaman. And sadly, many people today confuse the gospel. And that makes problems for individuals who are troubled about their sin. I've heard a number of testimonies of men who didn't have a church background. Like Naaman, they weren't brought up to know the true God. And when they became troubled by their sin, they went to this church and that church, and no one helped them because they were so wrapped up in their confused worship. People approach the Roman Catholic Church, but they're taken up with their theatrical worship. People go to a charismatic church, and they're just self-absorbed with having a good time in worship. So many churches confusing people today. And when people come to them and say, "I'm troubled by my sin," the Roman Catholic Church will prescribe so many Hail Marys. And the other churches will say, "Oh, you don't need to worry about your sin." But when your sins are weighing you down and your conscience is troubled, you don't need to repeat a prayer many times. And you certainly don't need to stop worrying about your sin, because you should be worried by your sin. Every gospel church needs to point those troubled by their sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. They should be exhorted to come in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be directed to humbly acknowledge your sin, to confess that you're a sinner to the Son of God, who alone can forgive sins. And we go to Jesus Christ because there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. You need to take your sins and your troubled conscience to the right person, which is Jesus Christ, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The king of Syria confused the message. And so when Naaman arrived with the letter, King Jehoram of Israel is horrified. He tears his clothes and says, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And that's true. No unbelieving person, in fact, no person at all, can deal with your sin. King Jehoram was not as bad as his father Ahab, but he was still a sinful, wicked man who encouraged the worship of Baal. He thought little of the one true living God. And he looks at the letter from the king of Syria and he says, "Impossible. How can I heal a man of his leprosy?" He thinks, the king of Syria is just trying to pick a fight with me. I cannot heal Naaman of his leprosy. And the king of Israel was right. He couldn't. And in the same way, forgiveness and healing of sin cannot be found in anyone else but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, don't be tempted to go elsewhere to look for contentment and peace for your soul in this life. You won't find any relief for the burden of your sin in the false religion of Islam, or in the false religions of Hinduism or Buddhism or Sikhism. Don't attempt to find salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. Because all attempts to find salvation elsewhere are in vain. There is no help in false religion. There is no help in the myriad other philosophies in this world. The king of Syria confused the message. And Naaman must have wondered how he was going to be healed from his leprosy. But thankfully for Naaman, news comes to the prophet in Israel. Verse 8, "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" If God intends to save a person, he may allow them to wander down some blind alleys, but he will eventually bring them to the place where they can hear the true gospel. And so Naaman is sent to the prophet Elisha. But thirdly, Naaman's anger. Verse 9 describes it for us. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." You remember, he's an important man. He's the general of the Syrian army, one of the most powerful of that day. And he comes to Elisha with his retinue, with his horses and chariot. He stands at the door of Elisha's house. He's a man who's used to getting what he wants. He's a man that's used to being highly respected. He may be a leper, but he's still a proud man. And he stands at the door, tall and upright, perhaps with spear in hand, waiting expectantly for the prophet to come out and wave his hand over the leprous skin on his body. He anticipates, as we're told in verse 11, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He imagines that he will be treated to a theatrical and impressive healing as befits a man of his rank. But his dreams and his thoughts and his pride are about to be shattered, because Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Herbert Dawson was pastor of Union Chapel, Bethesden, for 54 years. It's about 5 miles from my home church at Biddenden. And one of the illustrations that Herbert Dawson used to give was that we often hang up pictures in our mind, but they often come crashing down because they're not in accord with God's will. We may daydream and dream and plan and hope and wish, but so often the pictures we hang in our mind come down. And it happened to Naaman. He put a picture in his mind as we read in verse 11. "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." But when that picture in his mind comes crashing down, as we see his reaction at the beginning of verse 11, that Naaman was wroth. He was angry. How disrespectful for the prophet to send a messenger instead of coming in person. How disgraceful that the prophet doesn't even come out to see me and meet me. Doesn't he know how important I am? And then, fancy the prophet imagining that I would go and wash in the dirty brown waters of that small river Jordan. What a disgrace. Naaman thinks, what a farce to come all the way from Syria to be met with a messenger and told such a stupid message. How would you like to be saved from your sins? Maybe like Naaman, you imagine that you are very important and that God ought to deal respectfully with you. Perhaps you wish that God would save you from your sins by appearing from heaven and waving his arms, as it were, theatrically over you and then pronouncing you saved from your sins. Perhaps you don't entertain such a notion, but at least admit your pride often gets in the way of the messenger as well as the message. Of course, we couldn't handle God speaking directly to us because his holiness would burn us up. But maybe you, like Naaman, are frustrated with a mere messenger, that you have to receive God's message through Philip Hopkins and other ministers of the gospel. But God has sent his servants to you to declare his word. He has appointed that his message of salvation in Jesus Christ is to be preached by his messengers. God has ordained that the word of God is communicated to you by frail men of flesh and blood, like you. Why? So that the power of the message is made much more obvious through the weakness of the messengers. And there's the message itself. Naaman reacted angrily to the message, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. To do such a basic, simple thing in a river he regarded as unpleasant was beneath his dignity. And many today react to the gospel message with horror, affronted that the gospel should say, repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All people get angry when they're described as a sinner, affronted that they should be asked to believe on a historical figure who, according to the so-called experts, is of no consequence. And sadly, some people think it's just too simple to confess your sin and to believe in a person in order to be saved. To many people, that just seems to leave them with nothing to do. It's all too simple. It's beneath them. And the attitude of many hearts around us, and maybe your heart this morning, is, I won't have this man Jesus to reign over me. But if that's your attitude, understand that if you reject Christ, you reject the only way to be saved from your sins. The media and the academics and others deride the gospel message. They certainly despise the gospel messengers. But those who deride the gospel message and despise God's servants are rejecting the only way of salvation that there is. Oh, how gracious God is. He says, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come and be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus. Wash and be clean is the simple saving message of the gospel. And yet to countless millions, the gospel has been foolishness, and the Lord Jesus Christ a rock of offence to stumble over. Naaman turned away in a rage. He was all for heading back to Syria, uncleansed but still a leper. And all who turn away from the gospel remain unforgiven, their sins condemning them, and they are walking on the broad road that leads to destruction. Naaman's anger. But then fourthly, Naaman's servants. Thankfully, Naaman wasn't the only person who heard the voice of the messenger. Among his retinue were servants, and they had heard the message as well. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Not only did they hear, but more importantly, they trusted what Elisha had said was true. They believed that if Naaman went and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, his flesh would be restored and he would be clean. Many of you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been brought to repentance. You've believed. You've been saved. You know that the message of the gospel is genuinely true. You've experienced its life changing effect in your life, and you desire that others might experience the heart-changing, life-giving work of God, and you seek to persuade others of its truth. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." He wrote also to the church in Corinth, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." The Apostle Paul pleaded with his hearers, the servants of God. They plead with you from the pulpit. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross at Calvary and rising again from the dead. Believe what Jesus said. Look unto him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For there is no one else who can heal you from the dread disease of your soul. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" What a blessing if you have someone in your life who says to you, "Listen to the message of the gospel." That messenger may just be a weak, frail minister of the gospel, but believe the message. God's word declares, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And it does need to be with all your heart and with all your soul. God's word says, "If from this point forward, at 5 to 12, on the 8th of July 2018, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." You see, in the gospel, God is not asking you to do anything great or difficult. There's no need for any pilgrimage. There's no need for any Roman Catholic penance. There's no need for any display of human skill or strength. God's word says, simply place your trust in God's Son who came into this world to save sinners. Naaman's servants. And fifthly, Naaman listens and obeys. These servants were very gentle and respectful, but they were also wise and truthful. Listen to how they speak to him. They're addressing my father, a term of respect. "If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean." And Naaman humbled himself. He didn't remain proud and angry, but he listened to the entreaties of his servants. Naaman obeyed the word of God given by the messenger. This morning I say to you, obey, I beseech you, the word of the Lord. Dismiss your pride. Dismiss your petty objections to the gospel. Humble yourselves and obey the word of the living God. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Come like a little child. Come like a child in the sense of coming without prejudice. Come in the sense of trusting the word of a good man without doubting. Come and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Listen to the voice of God who calls to the sons of men, who says, "Wash in the precious blood of Christ and be clean." Verse 14, "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God." Naaman listened, and he humbled himself, he dismissed his pride. And he wasn't merely a hearer of God's word through the prophet, but he was a doer of God's word as well. He went down and he dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And the gospel is equally a message to be believed. Cry unto God for mercy, and you will assuredly receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life forevermore. We sometimes sing, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." The door of God's mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. No sinner shall ever be empty sent back who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Naaman did according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. He was healed of his leprosy. He came out of the river Jordan having washed seven times, dipping himself seven times in the river Jordan. And when he came out after the seventh time, he could look, and there was no trace of leprosy on his body. He was fully and perfectly healed, and he could now be pronounced clean. What happens when we call on the name of the Lord and we are saved? The Apostle Paul writes to the converted sinners in the church of Corinth. He says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Listen to the gospel. Humble yourself under its message. Seek the Lord earnestly in prayer. Call upon him for mercy with all your heart. And he will come and wash away your sins. He'll cleanse your heart and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. The person that is washed in the precious blood of Christ now belongs to him. And he will preserve you body and soul until he returns to take you to be with him forever. Naaman's flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. But that wasn't the end. We read at the beginning of verse 15, "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." So sixthly and lastly, Naaman's confession. Naaman not only obeyed the word of God, but he publicly confessed his belief in the God of Israel. Remember, he's got his servants with him. That's a detail the Spirit of God gives us. He stood and all his company, and he publicly confessed his belief in the God of Israel. Those servants could have gone back to Syria and said to the king of Syria, "Naaman now believes in the God of your enemies." And Naaman was prepared to take the risk. But Naaman wanted to publicly acknowledge the God who had effected the healing. Yes, Naaman had to submit himself to the word of the Lord. He dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan as instructed, but he knew that it was God who had healed his leprosy. And so he says, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Naaman's saying emphatically, there is no other God. He's saying the gods which are in Syria, which I was brought up to worship and to do reverence to, they're no gods at all. They're just useless lumps of material. But he says, this God is a God of power, a God who has power to heal. If you have been saved from your sins and from the wrath to come, have you publicly acknowledged the God who has saved you? Have you confessed before others that Jesus Christ has power to save and that you have believed on his name? Isaiah 43 verse 11 declares, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour." Can you say from the heart, sincerely and truthfully, "My Saviour is Jesus Christ, and there is no other Saviour beside him"? If you can, come and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master. Honour his name. Put the crown on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. If this great man from a heathen country publicly confessed his belief in God, will you not do the same? One last thought for this morning. What was the starting point of Naaman's journey to belief in the God of the Bible? What initiated this series of events that have resulted in Naaman's profession of faith in God? What was it? It was the generous-hearted faith of a little slave girl in her God. Even though she was held captive in a foreign land, that little girl's simple word of testimony was the first step in Naaman's journey to faith. Who knows how the Lord may use your simple testimony to the power of Christ in your life. That little girl's straightforward belief in the power of God led her to say, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And that expression, "Would God," means it is my great desire. This was her expression to her mistress. "It is my great desire that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And he did. Do you still have the leprosy of sin in your heart and in your life? This morning it is the great desire of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ that you would, with all your being, call on the name of the Lord, for he alone can deal with your sins and wash them away. The gospel message proclaims, wash and be clean. Amen.